All right, welcome back to the Language of Behavior podcast. Before we jump into today's conversation with myself and Charlie Peck, we just want to share a free opportunity for school leaders, teachers, counselors, and anyone supporting students through behavior challenges. On April 30th, we're going to have our Student Behavior Summit, which is a live virtual event with practical strategies, expert voices, and free resources you can use right away on your campus or in your district. If your team is looking for support, encouragement, and solutions that actually work in real school systems, we hope you'll join us. We have the link in the show notes for you for the School Behavior Summit. We're going to have amazing guests joining us every 30 minutes, and I cannot wait for this special event. So if you're interested, register for free at the link in the show notes, and we're going to go ahead and jump into our awesome conversation with myself and Charlie Peck. All right, we're back to the Language Behavior Podcast. My name is Joshua Stamper, and I have the passionate Charlie Peck with me as we're going to do a fun episode today. Charlie, if you're cool with it, I'd like to just jump right in.
Do it. Yes, let's go.
All right, it's on the tip of my tongue. We're going to do educational hot takes today. And if you're wondering what on earth is he talking about, this is something that we are extremely passionate, I was using that word earlier, about. And we want to just throw it out there as kind of a fun thing. I know in the past we have taken guest questions, but Charlie, I know you do videos all the time and it's on social media and you get a lot of wonderful feedback in various places. So do you have an educational hot take that you've posted and gotten some feedback on?
Oh my gosh. Recently, I've been posting on narcissism because here's, and I've gotten a lot of comments and a lot of action on that one. So the reason it comes up is because you and I are so supportive of people, right? We really want people to understand what's going on behind the behavior. And then people challenge me on that all the time, which I get. And so somebody came to me about narcissism and I said, well, narcissists do exist. So let's go ahead and address that because it is very difficult. So that is the topic I've been posting on. In fact, I did two posts yesterday on it, like back to back, because I got so many DMs about it. So this is what we need to understand. First of all, we do not diagnose narcissists. I'm a therapist and I don't diagnose narcissists like just by talking about them or seeing them. It has to be clinical. Like there's clinical application. But here's what I will say. There are narcissistic tendencies that you might see in your daily engagements with people in the education system somewhere. It can be a lot of different people. Do me a favor though, and don't pinpoint kids as narcissists yet. Don't do that to them. Just don't do that. So they're not even in it. They may have tendencies, but we can't label them. It's too early. So adults, these are anybody, right? They might be parents, guardians, they might be leaders, they might be teachers, they could be support staff. But I have to say this, because somebody is being difficult does not make them a narcissist, you guys. So be careful. But let me tell you are not going to change somebody regardless, even if they're difficult or if they're a narcissist or narcissism or there's narcissistic tendencies. What you need to do is protect your own stability to reduce the power of the dynamic there. So I'm going to like stop there. We can come back to this because I could talk for hours on this topic and we will continue. But Josh, what about yours? Let's name yours first. What is your hot topic here? First?
my hot take? Email is the devil.
Ooh,
email
is the devil. Tell me more.
I had a video that was taken from one of my keynotes when I talk about enhancing our capacity with healthy habits. And one of the healthy habits I'm talking about is like really putting some boundaries within your position. And it doesn't matter who you are, but I think there needs to be a boundary on email because I don't know about you, Charlie, but in my position, I would walk away from my office. I come back and I might be gone for 30, 45 to an hour. And I come back to 200 new emails. Yeah. And half of them were people that I had talked to in the hallway or I had seen and they already had discussed this with me or they had run down to my office and talked to me. So like, it's just wasted time. In addition to the fact that email, I've had principals tell me, oh, you need to send this email and it's 10 o'clock at night. Or I've had some get on me about don't send email at a late hour. And so like, there's just a gray area in etiquette. So for me, what I say is that you need to take it off your phone. Just remove it from your phone altogether because we don't need to be a slave to it. It shouldn't dictate our emotions. It shouldn't give us anxiety. It shouldn't be something that we're consistently taking away from our family for. Because in the grand scheme of things, if it's an emergency and they need to get a hold of you, they're not going to do it through email. And if there's an upset parent and they're firing something off at midnight, I've had 2 a.m. emails before because they're so hot and heated. It doesn't need to be responded to immediately. It's something that can be sat on. And if you look at most district etiquette, as far as like their procedures and what their expectations are, typically it's 24 hours, sometimes 48 hours that you can respond to that email. And so I just think that we don't need to base our entire schedule on something. And I've had, to your point, Charlie, I've had people on YouTube kick back things about, well, you know, is it bad that I'm in the line of Costco while I check my email? And my response back is that the best environment that you want to be in to take in that information and then also construct a professional response? So I think, again, if I'm at Costco, I'm typically with my wife. I've got my 4-year-old with me. Like, why would I want to be in my phone instead of being in the moment with them? So I just think that we put this on ourselves. It's like a giant heavy backpack. It's weighting us down every single day when we can just take it off and construct a boundary that's going to be better for our mental health and our physical health.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot. It's a lot. Okay. I'm going to go back to narcissism.
Can I please do. her mind is going right now.
It is. And I think
she explode.
The email thing is real for people. And this difficulty, like this difficult personality type is difficult too. So
for sure.
My goodness, there's a lot going on. So I think it's important that we talk about what to look for, like what it really is. Mm-hmm. And that's why early childhood and middle childhood, adolescence, you can't, like, there's not a clear pattern. There's so many other things. So it's really early adulthood where these patterns will emerge and they're persistent. It's pervasive. It's really about there's a need for admiration. They're not thinking of you. Now, there's a difference, and we can't get into all this. We don't have time for this. We may be in another time, but there is a difference with like narcissism and psychopathy, which is antisocial personality disorder. But people who are like psychopaths, they're all narcissistic. They all have narcissism. But narcissists, not all of them are psychopaths. Sometimes there is a level of empathy, like they might like animals. They may not care about hurting you, but they don't like hurting their dog, but they have low empathy. And so it's really a lot of grandiosity, like, look at me, look at me. And these are very insecure people. Psychopaths aren't insecure. Narcissists have an insecurity. And so they constantly need me, me, me. And they don't look at you. They look at like, everything's about me. And how can you serve me? How can you serve me? And it's not great for relationships. It's very difficult, but it's also, you have to work with these people. And sometimes we marry these people. And sometimes people are like, I can't leave this person. I will say they don't really change. In theory, that would be great, but they have a hard time changing. I'm not saying they can't, but it's very difficult for them to go get help for this. So if you're working, let's put this in a work situation. I talk more in my social media about the relationship piece, but work. You need to know how to deal with these people because you're going to have to work with them. So communication is the biggest piece. Go into the communication, simple communication. Use less words. If you're typing something out in an email to send to them, look at it and put less words there. Never be defensive with these people. They're going to actually use that against you. Any insecurity, any want, any need that you have, they're going to flip it on you. So don't give that away. Don't play that game. Don't enter that arena with them. Just give them the information. The best thing you can do is calm and quiet. Calm and quiet. There's so much power in calm and quiet. We don't want to give them anything to use against us. And if we enter a conversation with them, we have to be there in person, show up with the calm, quiet, and then get out after you've given the information you need and gotten what you want back. So I use a lot of repetition with these people. And again, calm. They'll go on to somebody else if you don't serve them like that. But if you give them something, you serve something up to them, they're going to use it as much as they can. They'll keep coming back to you to bother you. But if not, they'll move on to somebody else, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Any other pieces of the hot take that you want to flush out, Charlie, before we jump into the next segment?
Oh, there's so much. Just, they're human too. There's reasons. So just treat people with dignity and respect, even if they're being difficult or they have some narcissistic tendencies. Just be kind to serve your own purposes as a human.
Well, let's jump into Behind the Banter, where I'm always super kind to Charlie Peck. All right, this is the lighthearted section of our podcast. As we do behind the banter, as we get to know a little bit about each other and who's behind the microphone. So, Charlie, I'm going to give you an easy layup today. So, what is a TV show that you're embarrassed to say you watched as a kid or as an adult?
Ooh, embarrassed that I said, oh, that I watched as a kid or an adult. Josh, I don't know. The ones that pop in my head are like, Melrose Place. I think of Seinfeld when he had to do that lie detector test.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so this is where the question came from, is because I was talking about, I lived in front of the TV as a kid. So I have a lot of like references that I throw out, and my kids look at me sideways a lot of times. And so even my wife, like, she didn't grow up watching a lot of shows. And so I threw on a show and I watched it with my kids. And then I was like, yeah, this isn't as good as I remember. And it was the A-Team. Do you remember that show? The A-Team?
Oh, the A-Team.
Mr. T? Yeah.
The A-Team. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So
there's like guys flying everywhere with explosions. It's so fake. And as a little kid, I had like the A-Team shirt and the toys and all the stuff. And I loved that show growing up. But then I was very embarrassed watching it with my kids now. That's just saying, because they were looking at me like, you liked this? Like, this is so cheesy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I watched that. The show with the little girl who, I didn't really like it at the time, but I think I was limited. Little girl wonder or something. And she was a little robot and the acting was terrible.
I thought you were going to say Punky Brewster or something.
No, I liked Punky Brewster, man.
Yeah. That was the show.
And recently, like, we were talking with our kids recently, we're like, you know what? There's no lessons in TV shows now. There's no lessons. So we made our kids watch Family Ties last summer. And we're like, lessons in that. Yeah, that's good.
Michael J. Fox. Great show.
Right? I had a huge crush on him.
Oh, Back to the Future is one of the greatest trilogy of all time, but I regress.
Absolutely. Do you have a crush on him too?
I wanted to be Michael J. Fox. In fact, I lived in California when they were filming those. And so they were right next to, we lived in Ventura at the time. They were filming in Oxnard. And so we would try to go over there when they were filming to see if we could see Michael J. Fox, but we never did.
Got it.
It was pretty awesome. Anyways, Charlie, let's close this down. So is there anything that you want to highlight that's coming up for you?
Gosh, there's lots of great travel keynote opportunities. There's the Thrive Summit, which is a virtual summit that I get to speak at on April 29th. And then, of course, you and I have the School Behavior Solutions Summit on April 30th. I cannot wait for that either. Yeah.
Yep.
What about you?
SedNet just got done. So got back from Florida. Obviously, I got to see Brad Wade out there, which was a great time, in addition to just some amazing special education leaders. So I got to do a keynote and some breakout sessions there. So that was exciting. But yeah, I think just looking at May, we got some exciting projects that we're working on that we're kind of teasing out. We're not ready to announce yet, but excited about the work that we're going to do this upcoming month.
Yeah. And I can't wait to like close up the districts that we're working with. We get to be there in person and
Just
wrap it up and then plan for the next year that we're working with them. I love May.
Yeah, this is a good time of the year. So with that, do you want to close things down on our educational hot take?
I do. Just remember to keep your integrity intact at all times. So don't give too much information to the wrong people.
Yep, very good. And then, of course, create some boundaries, put those down on paper, start making those healthy habits. As we know, May is extremely stressful as we're closing down the year, but we want to make sure that you are in the best mental space as you head into the summer vacation. So hopefully you have a wonderful week. If you need anything, our websites are in the show notes, and we'd love for our listeners to reach out. So we'll see you again next week.
Guys.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and a podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.